Drive into summer with the rugged Honda Ridgeline, Passport, and Pilot. Get outdoors and kick up some dust with Honda, the 2024 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com best value brand. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.9% APR on a 2024 Ridgeline and a 2.9% APR on a 2024 Passport and 2025 Pilot.
Contact your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details based on 2024 Consumer Choice Awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes. But one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. Today, I'm very excited because we have an amazing guest on our show today. This is Ursula Mencius, and she is in business, and she helps people grow their business and even scale their business. What she believes in building a business holistically, where you can grow your business to seven figures, but you could work less and you don't have to burn yourself out. And she's going to tell us a little about herself and how she came about this method of helping people gain seven figures, but be able to work less and not have to burn themselves out. So Ursula, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
I will. Thank you, Stacey, for having me here. I'm so excited to be connecting with you and everything that you bring to the world and all of your listeners. And yeah, so my background, I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota. I'm back in Minnesota, but I was in California for a long time. We ended up moving back. But growing up on a farm, Stacey, I learned one thing, and that was how to work really hard. And right. So when I left the farm, I had a lot of limiting beliefs about money, about success, and what was possible. And fast forward, I graduated from college. I moved to Boulder, Colorado with one of my best friends. We move in with her aunt and uncle, and they had just sold their company to IBM for $10 million. And I'll tell you, Stacey, I'd never met an entrepreneur. I didn't know anything about really what that world looked like or what that meant. And I had a lot of like beliefs about people with money. And I'll tell you, this family shattered those beliefs. They were the most generous, incredible people I'd ever met. And Jana's uncle Will sat me down one day and he said, Ursula, what are your plans? Which was code for you and Jana can't live here forever, right? Like, while in our multi-million dollar home in the foothills of Boulder, but not forever. So what are your plans? And I said, well, I think I want to go to law school because that was my plan at the time. I just knew I wanted something. I wanted my own thing.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he didn't even skip a beat. He said, you know, Carol and I would be happy to pay for that for you.
Wow.
And Stacey, there was nothing in this Lutheran farm kid from southern Minnesota that could accept a gift like that. We are taught to say no thank you 10 times before we even accept a cup of coffee. So I was like, no thank you, I thank you. And he said, okay, I respect that. May I offer you some advice? And this was that moment, you know, those defining moments in your life where you're like, I can go this way, I can go that way. And I said, please give me some advice. And he said, get a job in outside sales and you can do anything. You could have your own company someday. You could pay for law school. You could write your own ticket. I didn't even know what that meant, you know, law or outside sales. I had no idea. I was in retail sales. So he said, you know, update your resume, send it to me. Before I could even do that, I'm working at Pier One Imports one day. I'd updated my resume, hadn't sent it to Will yet. And this woman came through wearing a really nice business suit. We started chatting. She worked for an international computer training consulting company. And she's like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm working here for a while. I'm actually looking for a job in outside sales. I had no idea what that meant. I just knew to say it out loud, right? When you know your goal, you got to say it out loud. So I said it out loud. She's like, well, we're hiring. Do you want to interview? Of course, I said yes. Now I could have disqualified myself, right? It was like, yes, I want to interview. I still don't know why they hired me. I think it was because I said I grew up on a farm and they thought I would work really hard. And they were not wrong about that. Mm-hmm. And so I started in outside sales and I hated everything about it, Stacey. I hated selling to the core, which put me on this journey. I read every book I could on sales and selling. And eventually in 9 months, I went from being an outside sales rep to being promoted to run a branch. This was when I was 22 years old. By the time I was 24, I was transferred to California. That's how I got to California. I was running a multi six figure training business out there, grew that one. We actually increased sales from $300,000 a month to $3 million a month in sales. And by the time I was 27, they named me president of a $20 million company. Now I share this with you, not to say, look what I did. I share this with you because if a farm kid can learn how to sell, anybody can. Right. And in business, we all know if you don't know how to sell, you can't grow your business.
Right.
Eventually we sold that company and I went on my own and I've been doing this ever since. So I'm super passionate about helping business owners not only learn how to sell, but once they learn how to sell, how to scale their business to seven figures, not with stress.
Right. I think that's so important because, you know, so many people that I know, because I'm, you know, I'm my whole life, I've been, you know, surrounded by business owners. And, you know, I don't see that when I see business owners. A lot of business owners that I know, they work harder and harder. And they think in order to make the six or seven figure mark, they have to put more time and more energy and they don't know how to work less. You know, how does a person, you know, make a six or seven figure income and work less? Because every business owner that I know, you know, puts more time, more energy. You can see the stress and the withdrawal on their face because it's sucking everything out of them. So how does a person work less and make more?
Yeah. It's truly by understanding the building blocks of the business.
Right.
That being finance, team, leadership, operations, fulfillment, marketing, and sales. And looking at each one of those and asking, what part of any of those should I be doing, if anything? And what part do I need to be delegating? Yeah. And then who needs to be in those seats? One of my favorite books of 2020, of the pandemic, was Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. I don't know if you've read that book, but it's—
No, I haven't.
It's a genius book because it's all about, you know, when you know what your goal is, our first question is always how. How do I get there? And he really teaches it should be who can get me there. And so when we work with our clients and in my own business, we figure out how to scale by finding the who's that need to be in the seat. And that could mean a team member, right? That could mean someone directly on your team. It could be a specific marketing agency. That's the who that's going to help me grow my company. Like for you, like you've published a lot of books. It's like, who's the right publisher? It's finding that right piece. And also understanding what's the genius work that I should be doing. And I think that's different for every business owner, right? Like there are certain things that I love to do in my business that I would never give up because they feed me. Like I still do a little bit of coaching in my business. I still lead the marketing, right? Those are key pieces of what things I'd love to do. Yeah. But for another business owner, it might be that, you know, maybe they only want to be in the leadership role. They don't want to touch any of those other pieces, but you cannot scale to the next level by yourself. Now, I also want to say this. A lot of people think when I say that, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to hire this huge team of W-2 employees. No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, we have clients who, I can think of one client now, she's got a $3 million company and she has two part-time people that support her and amazing processes and systems that she's put in place that allow her to work from 10 to 2 every day. She's a mom. She only wants to work from 10 to 2 so she can do the drop-off and the pickup, right? Which allows us to work for parents. And she works from 10 to 2, has a very small team, does multi-millions every year. That's what happens when you can scale with ease. It's about having the right people on your team, having the right systems and processes in place.
Right. And I think, you know, you made such a good point. It's just having the right people on your team and delegating the right, you know, the right responsibilities to those people. And that gives you the freedom to actually withdraw a little and actually do the things that you need to do for yourself. You know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think a lot of people, they think, I see this in a lot of business owners, is that, you know, if I'm not there, it's not going to get right. It's not going to get done right. You know, I have to be there. I have to be there. And they think they have to be there from opening to closing, because it's not going to get done right if they're not there delegating, you know, the responsibilities and making sure everybody's doing what they have to do. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think the question to ask yourself is it possible that there's somebody out there who could do it better than me? And the answer is always yes, because we live in an unlimited universe, right? There's a eight billion people on the planet. I guarantee there's somebody out there, but that is the belief, right? And you know, I can think of one of our clients right now who's grown to 700,000 alone without anyone supporting them. And frankly, they need to hire and they know that. And they finally hired someone for 8 hours a week. And now they're going to hire another person for about 20 hours a week. And it was painful because the belief was just like you said, if I'm not doing it, it's not going to get done, or it's not going to get done right. And the opposite can actually be true, that they can actually do it better than us, right? Right. When you hire the right people, you want people who are better than you in those areas. And that's when it gets fun.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the topics that we talked about before we went on the show is scaling. And a lot of times I find a lot of people, you know, don't really set value to what they're worth. They underprice their services, or they underprice the products they sell, because they don't think it's they're worth it. But they're probably worth 5, 10, 15 times more than what they're doing. So instead of, you know, working less, they're working more, because they're practically giving away a lot of the things that they do for nothing. And I think I read a book from Alex Hormozi, and he talked about how the more you charge, the more people want it, because they think it's better quality or better service. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think perception matters, definitely. And we find that most of our clients, when we meet them, typically need to double the prices of their products and services, period, end of story. Some need to 10x their pricing because they're so low. Yeah. And pricing is a sensitive thing. I find, you know, unfortunately, us ladies, women, like, we definitely undercharge, and we don't value what we do. And that does cause a disconnect in the business. It's tough to scale a business when you're not charging enough, right? You're never going to get to that next level. So here's a pricing tip, because I feel like this is, like, people get like, I don't know, how do I raise my prices, Ursula? I get asked that all the time. Here's what you want to do. So take a specific service, for example, that you offer. Okay. Mm-hmm. And think about the problem that it solves for your client, the need that it meets. Think about all the benefits that they get from it. Just think about all the results. Go back and read all the testimonials of happy people. Just think how amazing it is, right?
Yeah.
And then ask yourself, what is truly the least amount I would charge for this? Which is probably what you're charging right now. Mm-hmm. And then what is the most? Like, if I could charge as much as I want to, knowing that, especially with a service, knowing that when I charge that much, I'm going to show up like the rock star that I am. I'm going to give so much to my clients. I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to bring so much joy and so much fun to this. It's going to be amazing. Like, that level. What's the most I would charge? And everybody has a number. They know the number.
Right.
And then in the middle is probably where you are right now. Like, it's hard for a lot of people to jump to that highest number, but you can probably find a number in the middle that you're like, it's a stretch, but I know I can sell it at that level. And then move to that level. And then that becomes your bottom. And then do it again in a few months. And then you just keep incrementally raising your prices.
So kind of like a building block thing, where, you know, you raise it up a little bit, and then, you know, you kind of see what's working, what's not working. And then you kind of wait a few months, and then you try to build it up more and build it up more.
Yeah. And most of our clients find that, to your other point and Alex's book, that they start to sell more immediately. It's almost like this immediate thing. And they're like, you're never going to believe this. Mm-hmm. And it's because, here's the thing. Not only do people perceive that it's more valuable, people value it more when they invest more.
Right.
And in the world of coaching and like soft skill services like that, the more they're invested, the more likely it is they're going to show up and do the work. And that's why they're going to get a better return on their investment.
I agree 100% with you. And when people, you know, they're starting off and they're building their business, you know, it takes a while, you know, to build their business up. And when you get to that point, like you said, when you get to that point where you're starting to thrive, but, you know, by the time you're paying the employees, you're paying for this, you're paying for that, and you're making all this money, but then when you take out all the expenses, you're hardly making anything, or you're making adequate, but not what you should. Is that a time when people should start thinking about, well, maybe I should be scaling my prices. Maybe I should be doing more, you know? What do you suggest when that happens to a client?
Absolutely. It's a great question. So I will say the hardest six figures you'll make is the first six figures. Like, $100,000 business, $100,000 annual revenue, it was just tough to run. It's like you doing all the things. It's like, it's painful. You got to get to like 250 for most businesses to be profitable enough for you to feel like you don't have a job that you hate, right? And so if you notice like you're feeling frustrated, like there's this turn and burn happening, either probably you're not charging enough, but you're also not selling enough, right?
Right.
And it's time to expand that revenue goal, whatever that is. The thing to remember is that if you want a half a million, but you haven't created a projection or a revenue model for a half a million, I guarantee you it's not going to show up. It doesn't, we never get more than we ask for. We can get less sometimes, but if you're not even asking for it, it can't show up.
Right.
So a lot of our clients start with, like, you know, in a 2X scenario, for example, if they want to go from 250 to half a million a year, the first step is to create that revenue model and really, really get clear on what the revenue needs to be, what your costs need to be, and what your net profit is. Get a clear picture of your financial strategy, right? Your plan. Yeah. Once you have that, you can expand it even more. So some of them, they'll build a half a million and then they'll be like, I actually think I could do 750. Well, it's like, expand it, because you're not going to be mad if you hit 600,000, right?
Right.
Even instead of 750, because originally you were thinking 500. But again, it's not going to show up. We say this over and over again. It's not, that revenue will not show up if you don't create the space for it.
Right. Right. So what would you suggest first is to actually plan everything out, like you said, make that platform, make that, you know, and then what would be step number two for the person? Yeah.
So create the revenue model. With our clients, we typically start with a model month template. Like, that's just easier for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
If you could have your ideal month, what would that be? Maybe you're at 20,000 a month. You want to be at 40,000 a month. Okay, great. So we break down the numbers so you can see how many widgets I need to sell or how many services I need to sell to get there. When you do that exercise, you will also quickly notice if you need to raise your prices. Like, it's right away that starts to come up. And so you start to see, oh, if we raised our prices in this area, we actually would need less services or, you know, widgets sold. Once you have your model month nailed, then expand it. Then take your model month and plug it into a 12-month revenue model so you can see what it would look like. And very quickly, right, you get to see, you know, how much you, you know, what you're going to be selling, what it's going to look like, what your net profit is. And then we also get to remember that a business, a corporation, gives us a lot of tax benefits. So even though, like, my net profit might not be as high as I want, maybe my vehicle is purchased through the business, or, you know, my health insurance, like, there's a lot of benefits that are inside the business that we have to remember are also, like, we're also paying for those things that are coming to us.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, people, you know, I think in this day and age, you know, especially with a recession, it really hurts people a lot, and it makes things even harder. So when people are struggling financially, you see so many cutbacks now, you see businesses, you know, closing down stores, you know, how does someone stay on top when the economy is falling?
Yeah, it's a great question. So here's the first part. For any business owner that survived the pandemic, you can make it through the recession or whatever this is, right? What's interesting, yeah, like, if you look at, there's actually a lot of people that, a lot of businesses that are thriving right now. And we don't realize that, or we don't hear those stories. We only hear, right, about the ones who are laying off. A lot of big companies are laying off. That's kind of a bell ringer. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe we are in a recession, but the jobless claims aren't super high right now, right? We still have, right, a ton of people working in this country. In fact, I can tell you, like, at least in Minnesota, probably other areas, right? There's help wanted everywhere. There's lots of opportunities, maybe jobs that we don't want, but for someone, right, who does want a job, like, there's so much opportunity out there. So the first thing is to filter what we're hearing. Mm-hmm. Because the media is paid to sell stories. So they have to be,
exactly,
sensational, right? The sky is falling. The world has ended. That's how I read anything on the news these days, especially coming out of the pandemic, right?
It's, yeah,
World War III, it's over. And so you got to filter that. And I would be very careful about what you take in, right? What you are reading, because it may or may not be sensationalized. Or when you go in and read it, you look at the title and you think, oh, like, the world is ending. But then you go read it and it's like, well, that maybe the world could end. Just like a recession is happening. Well, has anyone said a recession is actually happening right now? There's been all, right, this talk about it for like a year, like, yeah, rolling into a recession. But then I look at the jobs reports, I look at other things, and I think, but are we? We have inflation, but are we in a recession? So I go back to 2009 because I know we're going to have another recession. It's just part of the cycle of business.
Right.
And back in 2009, I remember that a lot of businesses that I knew said one of two things, that either they were going to make this the best time in business or they weren't. And those who said this was going to be a tough time in business, it was, right? For many people, it was. And,
yeah,
those who, like, doubled down, like, they doubled down on their marketing, they doubled down on taking care of their clients. They, even in the construction industry in 2009 in California, people were, you know, finding new opportunities.
Right.
Those who are savvy, right, and not getting picked up by fear. And I think business owners, we're just scrappy by nature because this is what we do, right? We got to figure it out all the time. if you're willing to figure it out, this could be your best year ever in business. That's what we're telling our clients. Like, our clients had their best year ever in the pandemic. The first year of the pandemic, when a lot of businesses went under, we said to our clients, we said, you're going to double down and you're going to decide that this is your best year in business. So, so much of it, Stacey, as you know, happens up here.
Yeah.
And so for anyone who's like feeling some fear around the recession, I would say, challenge yourself.
Right.
You know, what would it take for this to be your best year of business, regardless of what's happening around you?
Right. Do you think it's good to have maybe a coach or to write things in a journal? Like, what do you think is most effective for people if people aren't really sure where to start? Like, they have an idea, or maybe they're at a good point, but they want to get better. Like, how would you suggest to these people, what's the best way to start on your journey to success?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So hanging out here, hanging out with you, right? Hanging out and listening. I love podcasts. Like, we have so much access to information and inspiration and motivation now. It's unbelievable. Never in the history of the world that we have this much access. So listen to those podcasts like Stacey, those podcasters who inspire you and stay plugged. That's what you want to be listening to, not the garbage that's on some of these other places that are being paid for whatever, right?
Right.
Read books. You mentioned, you know, a book that you read. I mentioned a book that I read. You and I probably read a lot. Stay in the books. If you don't like reading, listen to the books, right?
Right.
Stay in that energy. Of course, hire a coach, right? Of course, you know, you and I believe in coaching. I'm sure you have multiple. I have multiple coaches that I work with.
Right.
I would not have been able to grow the business the way that we did during the pandemic without the coaches that I work with who support me regularly. So get a coach, get into a community of people that are like-minded who believe what you do, because community, I feel like, especially in the world we're in now, is more important than ever. And being with people who are going to pull you forward versus like allow you to stay stuck.
Right. Now, when it comes to like advertising, you know, sometimes people pour in so much money into advertising. Is advertising worth it? And if it is, what type of advertising really helps a corporation or a company expand their business? Because sometimes people focus on the wrong type of advertising. You have social media, you have, you know, magazines. We can go on and on and on and on and on. But where, you know, is it most effective? So people don't just waste their money in the wrong places.
Yeah, I've wasted my money in a lot of the wrong places. So like, I think it's a journey, right? See, because the tricky part is that something that worked in 2020 might not be working now.
Yes.
And the leaders of our businesses, we have to be at the front of watching what's working and not working. When I built my business originally, and I say this to all my clients, like we built our business to the first $500,000 a year with no paid advertising, zero. We did very traditional things. We networked. I did a lot of stage speaking. Doesn't cost me anything. In fact, I got paid to do it. Right.
Right.
I was on podcasts. I launched our podcast, not super costly. Like, and being a guest is free, right? That's a huge opportunity. Like what we're going to do, like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And so look for those ways that you can be marketing that don't cost you a lot of money, because they're everywhere, especially if you're new in business.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think paid advertising is useful until you have nailed your pricing, your packages, your brand. And like, you are sure that if you put $1 in, you're going to get $2 out.
Right.
And this comes from somebody who has spent a lot of money on marketing. Now, I will say at this stage in my business, I do spend a lot of money. Like, I work with a marketing agency. We have paid ads now. And if you're listening to this and you Google me, right, then my ads are probably going to show up in your feed somewhere, because that's the world we're in today.
Yeah.
But that was a very thought out financial decision that I made after a lot of research and after a lot of hiring other companies that just weren't a good fit for us.
Right. A lot of books that I've read, you know, every moment is, you know, like every moment is a dollar. Every moment, you know, if you're not going to, like you said, if you're not going to get back what you put into it, you know, don't even bother, you know, and a lot of times people focus on YouTube or they focus on Instagram. Are you making money off of that? You know, like, you have to think about, like, you know, where are you making money? Where are you not making money? Because if you're not really making money, then why are you wasting your time in that area? What do you think?
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's like, especially if you're going to hire a company, if you're paying for marketing, you have to ask, what is the return of my investment? You have to, and if the person that's selling you the marketing cannot answer that question, move on.
Right.
They cannot, like, one of the companies I'm working with now, like, they literally can show me the data of like, when you put X amount in, this is what's going to come out. This is when you get into profit. I mean, it's so scientific and so data driven. Yeah. I love that. If someone can't answer that for you, they're probably not the right company for you.
Right.
So yeah, it's, I will say there's things though that take time. Mm-hmm. Like if you're doing a podcast, you got to do the podcast and you got to be consistent and it's work and you got to keep putting it out there and you don't get to quit the podcast. I mean, some people do, and maybe they still get leads from that, but it ultimately, Stacey, as you know, it all works together, right?
Yeah.
So the podcast that we promote on social media is tied to this, which is tied to the advertising, which, you know, it all has to play together nicely.
Right.
But again, like there are things that, to your point, that we've quit doing because like there's certain events that I've spoken at the past that maybe were great, but we no longer, it's just no longer a fit or it's no longer our target client. So you got to be discerning about where you spend your time.
Exactly. I agree 100%. Now, when you look at, you know, helping companies grow, like does it take time? You know, I find that our society is a very impatient society. People want results 1, 2, 3, and it doesn't always happen like that. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, it doesn't always happen like that. When people are trying to grow their business, can they make a return very quickly? Or do you see most of the time it's a slow process that takes time, but eventually you'll see the golden nugget at the end of the road?
Yeah. So it depends because we have some clients who timing matters, right? Who were so ready to work with a coach and they had done a lot of work in the background. So when we were able to support them, it was like turning the faucet on. We made a couple of changes and all of a sudden there's just revenue was just pouring in.
Yeah.
Or they hired for the first time and all of a sudden the company started to explode. A lot of companies though, like I believe, and this is what we work with clients who want to have a 2X, and that could be, I want to go from 10,000 to 20,000.
Right.
I truly believe, especially in a service-based business, product can take a little bit longer, that you can turn that business in 90 days or less. Like you could by the end of 90 days have doubled your revenue, some sooner than that. I definitely think that's really possible because once you're up and running, like once someone's at 10,000 a month pretty consistently, something's working. And so then it's looking at what's working and what could we double down on so that their revenue can 2X. So it depends. I don't like, but we never want to overpromise, right? Like it could depend on a lot of things. We've had some clients who have taken longer because they needed to fire a lot of clients and that took time. Like they were working with clients who just sucked the life out of them and just handling that was such a process for them to like have the courage to just start releasing clients who were no longer a fit. So then they could create room for new clients. So that was probably more of a 6-month path.
Right.
But they also knew that, like the client knew that was going to take a little longer.
Right. You know, because people have to realize too, sometimes you have those clients that you're never going to get a positive outcome from. You know, they do suck the life out of you. And, you know, and they're the ones who make you work the hardest are the ones that pay the least, I find, you know, and those are the ones that people have to realize, you know, are you really getting your money's worth by working with that client, don't you think? Because some clients, the ones that pay the least, they're usually the ones that suck the most energy out of you and you're making the least amount of profit. Do you find that in your world?
Yeah. Yes. And we've made really a concerted effort to get really clear in our top 20%, because part of it, as we were with our clients, it's like, who is your top 20%? Who should you only be working with?
Right.
So that you don't say yes to clients who aren't a fit and get into that painful situation. But I find that's a learning process. You know, when we first launch our businesses, it's like, we'll take anybody. It's like, I just need to pay the bills. Right. And then slowly you start to move out of that and you realize, oh my gosh, like, I could only work with this kind of client or customer. And then you get to do that. But that can take a little bit of time.
Right. Now, if you have to like give some advice to people, like, you know, people who want to grow their business or people who want to go into the 6 or 7 figure, you know, and, you know, what would be the best advice to tell people, you know, like some really good tips that might give them a good direction on what they need to do in order to enhance their business?
Yeah. So first it goes back to what we talked about before. You've got to start with the end in mind. So where do you really want to be? And I find like we kind of lie to ourselves about that. It's like, oh, I guess I just want 250. No, you don't. You want your heart's desire is $500,000 business. So say it out loud. So work from your heart's desire, that goal that you most want, or it's like, it's kind of, it just takes forever. So create a stretch goal because it can't show up if you don't create it. Then revenue model it. We talked about this as well. You've got to get clear on your model month. And then revenue model it out for a year. Because when you do that, what happens next is the way to market starts to get really clear. Like when you break down that month and you're like, okay, if I'm going to get to from 10,000 to 20,000 a month, I need, you know, I need 20 clients a month at $1,000 each. And that means that I'm just using easy math. My closing ratio is 50%. So I need to work with, we need to talk to 40 people a month to get there. Just easy math. I don't know what your numbers are.
Right.
But then you got to break it down. Well, once I know I need 40 appointments a month, for example, then the question is, well, what's the fastest and easiest way to get there? I love that question. Mm-hmm. And when you start to write down the ideas, what's the fastest and easiest way to get to, you know, 40 appointments a month? There's gold in that list. In fact, studies show if you can come up with 50 ideas to answer that question, you will find gold inside of that list that will actually get you there. In that example, you're going to find marketing, mostly marketing ideas, right? Mostly marketing ideas. Maybe it's referrals. Maybe it's affiliates. Maybe, you know, partners that you're going to work with. You're going to refer business back and forth. Maybe it is advertising. Maybe it's speaking on stages. Or you look at like what, how did we get to 10,000 a month? And then you double down what's worked really well.
Yeah.
In other words, building that expansive plan, the monthly plan, breaking it down, knowing your numbers starts to show you the path to get there. And that's where we start with all of our clients. And there's gold in that. Once you do that, you're going to start to see the way that's waiting for you.
That's excellent. Now your website, what is your website that people can get in touch with you?
Yeah. It's Ursula Inc. So URSULAINC.CO. So .company, not .com.
And what services do you provide, or do you have any products also that you might provide, like books or anything like that, that you provide to your people?
Yeah, we have, there's 5 books on the website, and they're also on Amazon. Sometimes that's just easier to grab them. Everything from Selling with Intention, which was my first book, to One Great Goal, Selling with Synchronicity, The Belief Zone. And my latest is Up Level Now, that came out a couple of years ago. So those are the books. Mm-hmm. We also offer a signature course called the 2X Intensive for anyone who's ready to do that. And there's information on the site about that. But we do have a free gift on the homepage. You can't miss it, Stacey. It's the Quantum Revenue Expansion Masterclass. And it's free. It's a 3-part series that helps you figure out what we talked about today. It helps you get clear on your numbers. Mm-hmm. It helps you figure out how to price your products or services. And then we dive into marketing, like what's it going to take to get there? And then the final part of the class is all about scaling. How do I collapse time to get to my goal even faster? So that's a free gift on the website.
That's awesome. So one more time, tell everybody your website so it sticks in their head. So
you just go to ursulainc.co and everything's right there on the homepage. You can see it.
That's amazing. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for being on the show. You have provided so much great information. And, you know, do you provide coaching services for people?
We do. Everyone starts with the 2X Intensive. Thanks for asking. And then, you know, for those who want additional support and want to be in a community, they can go into our CEO table. And that's our coaching community, which is
That's awesome. And you can find all that on the website.
Yes, all of it's on the website. And you can contact us if you have any questions. We'd love to answer those.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You provided us with a wealth of information, and I'm so glad that you came on the show. And because, you know, people, you know, I think people lack confidence, or they just don't know how to do it. You know, they have dreams, but they just don't know how to make their dreams a reality. And you just gave people such great information to kind of really give them one hope, and to realize that, you know what, we have to break through our fear and we have to believe in ourselves. And if we, like you said, if you put a number in your head, and you kind of map it out clearly, you can get to that. Your dreams can become your reality if you do it right, if you have a goal and you stick by that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, just take the next step that's in front of you. So Stacey, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you for being on the show.
Been hungry for some college football? Well, we finally get a taste this weekend. Don't miss any of the action. Jump in at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's a small but mighty slate of games for week 0, including a big matchup in Ireland. This is going to be DraftKings' biggest college football season to date. Plus, all newbies getting into the college spirit, here's something extra special. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Score big with DraftKings all college football season long.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code iHeart. That's promo code iHeart for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500. 21 and over. Virginia only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at dkng.co/ftball.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.